So, please, if you have any questions, go on. Simon.
I was just going to ask, obviously the Amiga stuff is considered to be bit perfect backup, but I wondered, is the MAME stuff considered by both of you to be bit, like, effectively bit perfect as well? Is there anything in any way where it's not?
It is, it is considered perfect in most cases. There are quite some cases where no good run dumps so far exist, and these are sorted out and marked. This is specifically the case for color prompts, which were regarded with less respect in the former times. They were just overlooked. These are very small prompts, most of the time soldered onto the PCB, and that's why some collectors just ignored them until we found out that they are quite important, because minor differences in the colors of the game actually make a difference. And it's not enough to just interpret this is red, green, brown, but you have to find the exact amount. And so these are cases where the collection of data is still having holes, and we are seeking to fill them.
Cool. So are there other questions? Yes, please.
What's the difference between the system you developed, the Comic microcode system, and something that already exists, like VHDL or any system like that, where you can describe on a high level the microprocessor architecture?
Yeah. VHDL and languages like that are oriented to move the final result onto some hardware. While my tool is rather simple, it's 180 kilobytes of code, but it's a few hundred lines of code, and it's targeted mostly at software. It might be possible to actually execute such a kind of CPU core on an FPGA at some point, but it's not the main goal. The main goal is just to avoid having to rewrite the same kind of code over and over, only because you are on another host architecture or host operating system.
So it's actually easier than VHDL too. So, but it's a kind of a language in which you describe the processor.
It's kind of a language. This language has very few elements. It's self-defining, because of course, each CPU has different opcodes. There are similarities, but there are many differences. You have similar arithmetic logic operations on most CPUs, but you always have special commands. And that is why this language is self-defining. The first thing you do is you define your own operations together with number of arguments, either no arguments or only source or destination and source. And then you define, using this self-defined opcodes, you define your microcode for the CPU. It's rather simple to understand. I think after looking at one description, everyone who ever dealt with emulation can understand how to do it.
Yeah, I think both of the projects, or all of the three projects, MAME, Comic, and the CUPS project and the IPF file, which Istvan developed, are both, or all three are meant to build a sustainable kind of preserving software, because the problem is if you use the usual kind of, or the most of the emulators which were around were right for a special operating system, for example DOS, and so this changes for sure. And if we don't set up solutions like we were introduced today, so we were forced to rewrote every emulator every time a new operating system appears, and this hasn't anything to do with authenticity. So then this questions Istvan raised will be treated additionally to running a game, only running a game. So, yeah.
I did not actually understand how you preserve the games in the end. You remaster it on floppy disks?
No. We could do that, but we don't do that. Basically, we create a virtual media file. And that media file contains the data that is enough to either create a virtual disk in the memory that exactly behaves the very same way it behaved on the original media, including timing, flaky bits, and whatever is mentioned. And or it would be possible with some hardware to write those disks back to real media. But that may not be feasible as hardware gets rarer to find.
So but you can actually play the game. So you have a special loader for that on the Amiga to load the actual image you created?
You are unlikely to play that on an Amiga because it does not need emulation, of course, to run a game. But you can play it on your PC or Apple Macintosh or whatever system that will be around in 50 years' time.
So, Herr Koy, bitte.
I think this is a very interesting area you're working in, but my problem on preservation is what can we do to ensure that multimedia content, including games, can be easier preserved in the future? Is there something like standards or what would you tell someone to make his work preservable?
Okay. I guess it is
beyond the economic considerations to hide everything, though.
Yeah, so as I understand, you have from a major publisher or something like that. And I really appreciate your question. Basically, we should set standards that make sure that data is stored in a way that the user is still not able to copy the game, but it is much more well-defined than it is currently now. It is pretty much, actually it is an industry, and you can choose from a lot of systems like various lock systems and Securom and things like that, but they are trade secrets, and there is no guarantee that the company that is able to create such a system will be around in 10 years' time. And it has happened that many of them has disappeared already. So what should be done is the copyright holder must keep a copy of the unprotected media itself. It is quite normal to only keep the final master. And this is not exactly a good practice, of course, because it will be a problem after a few years to create a copy of that, even for republishing. And another thing should be that we are, would be really happy to help with, to create a standard that should be applied to protected software that makes it possible to read it out in an abstract form, store it in an abstract form, not how it is now, or in a generic way that ensures that no matter how the media changes, at least we or the publishers themselves will be able to provide an emulation layer or a virtual media layer that is able to read the disk. This is not possible right now, but we are happy to help with that.
Does this answer your question? Oh, okay.
I would
yes.
also like to add something. Of course, I think it would be nicer if we wouldn't actually need to have copy protections to prevent people from copying things. After all, it's, I just attended the panel about alternate compensation systems, and if such a thing became true, if game authors could be found in the same way that artists in other areas are found, then we wouldn't actually need things like copy protection, which are the only things which make it hard to preserve games. And I think there are no uses for things like protection besides preventing people from copying it.
Actually, since I used to be in the industry, I see this slightly different. Ideally, you are right, absolutely, but in practice, casual copying is still is a big problem for the gaming industry. So I don't think we should expect them to give that up. We are not talking about profit for the first time. We are talking about making a game, to sell enough copies to at least the development costs are getting back. So I think it is, as for the things are now, it is mandatory to apply some sort of access protection method. But it can be done in a way to not damage the social rights of the future generations so they can access the items later on.
I completely agree.
Yeah, bitte, hier vorne.
So in terms of authenticity, you seem to not accept modified copies of the game for various reasons. But in terms of copy protection, then finally it is part of the game as such, the copy protection. So what makes up the game that you want to preserve? The game as such without copy protection, or is the copy protection finally part of the game?
What we do and we are doing is preserve the game as it is. All the data, all the copy protection, all the formats, everything on the disk. Of course, in an ideal solution that we may be able to work out in the close future, where we would keep a safe archive of unprotected media as well as a well-defined standard of copy protection methods that can be read. But basically, we are not altering data, and it is not really interesting for historical purposes that somebody has entered his name into the high score table. Luckily, you can do that on a DVD, but you could on a floppy disk. So it is, for preservation, it is still an important factor to see how the whole thing looked like, how it feared. And another factor is that high scores and game save data is quite often mixed up with the actual code. So if the track where the high score data or the game save is stored is modified and it contains code, it is a big problem because we don't know whether the game code itself is not altered in any way.
But on the other hand, you say you really want to preserve the game as it is, but that means you want to preserve the game as it is sold in the shop. But on the other hand, you say it would be nice for the future that the game developers have a separate copy with the copy protection not compiled in. So then you would not have actually the real game preserved.
Yes, of course, that would
cheating.
Be an ideal solution, but it is not true for now. What happens now is that, and used to happen in the past, that at the final mastering stage, at the most, the game gets copy protected. But quite often during the development, more secure systems are being built into the game code. That, for example, in a system like Fate used by Codemasters, it degrades the game more and more over the time you use it, more pirated version on PC or PlayStation 2, more and more features get disabled from the game. So if you like the game, you can still buy it and play it properly. But if it turns out you don't like the game, in the Fate system makes it completely unplayable after a while.
Are there any other questions? So I think it's time for us to end. I thank Jürgen very much and István also, and for sure I thank you and hope that projects like CAPS and the comic project of Jürgen will develop like their developers would like to see them develop, and I'm pretty much optimistic that the power of the game community is still so big, and that there's so much passion, still is so much passion around that this will come true. And I expect another very interesting development, and this is the merging of these two sectors. On the one hand, the hobbyist archival sector, which is driven by passion, and on the other hand, the established, so-called established archival community like libraries, which pretty much have the same technical problems on people like István and Jürgen are used to deal with since many years, and so this is what I wish for the future, and what I will dedicate my work to. So thank you.